This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Denise and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome to Wednesday, hump day.
I always land on hump day. Hump day is okay. Yeah, you have to call it hump day.
Middle of the week.
Middle of the week. I
down
know.
Slide to the weekend.
That's true. That's true. Tomorrow is Friday Eve. And so that's always.
There you go.
Friday Eve is
like
fantastic.
It.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Always. It's always good to be here with you, Dave.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I like it when you come in. You know, it's a nice change.
Change of pace. A little change. Higher pitch voice.
Just a little bit.
Well, we have a really, really, really interesting show today.
Awesome.
We've got, first up, we'll have Oregon Republican Chairman Bill Currier to give us a quick update on what's happening with the recall. And then after that, we have a vape store owner who is going to come on and talk to us about the real world ramifications of the governor's ban on flavored vape and what, you know, vape juices, and kind of give us a lay of the land for those that don't really understand the industry, what it means, and what this is going to do to business owners in the state of Oregon.
Awesome.
But before we do that, like I said, we've got Bill Currier. He's the chairman of the Oregon Republican Party. Bill Currier, welcome to the show.
Hi, Denise. Dave, great to be back.
It's good to have you. So we've we're like 2 days past the initial deadline that we talked about last week, which was the really kind of to get all the signatures in. So can you talk to us a little bit about, I'm imagining it's crazy, hectic, you know, happy, all kinds of emotions going through everybody. Can you give us an update on what's going on?
Yeah, it's like being on pins and needles.
I bet.
Had quite a few come in and last week, but we're actually seeing a lot come in now, and we didn't see as many last week as we had hoped, at least in terms of bulk submissions where there's, you know, many, many pages to check and verify. We're seeing a lot this week, and it looks like we're going to just see them keep coming in right up until the last moment, which for us is technically Friday. We may see some come in the mail on Saturday. And the big challenge right now is, of course, like I'd mentioned on the last time I was on, is the validation.
Yeah.
And we have lots and lots of signatures. The problem is that we have to discard the ones that aren't valid. And you'd be surprised how many aren't valid. So it's still really, really close, too close to call. And partly, we just don't know because we haven't had a chance to see which ones we have to throw out and count those. And because they're doing that right now, they're doing it all the time, every day, trying to keep up with what's coming in and validating it. So it's just always a moving target and always a little bit of an unknown. I mean, we won't know until we actually cut it off and say no more to check, and we can actually have solid tallies.
So I imagine, like you mentioned, you've got volunteers working, I mean, crazy around the clock. Do you need volunteers? Are you staffed up for volunteers? Is there a call out for volunteers?
At this point, I would say we're probably sitting pretty well in terms of the number of people that are working. A lot of people are working remotely from home.
Yeah.
We've got the system set up. There's dozens of people in there helping. There's people in the office. There's people on site. We have the event at Northwest Armory in Milwaukee tomorrow.
Tell us a little bit about that event. Well, yeah.
That is going to be a lot of fun because it's going to be a drive-through, and there's going to be several lanes, and people will be coming through. It'll be open from noon to 6, both at the Milwaukee Northwest Armory location and at the Tigard Tigard Northwest Armory location. The one in Tigard will be more of a stop, get out sign. The one in Milwaukee will be lanes. It's been heavily promoted, and people will basically be able to just pull in the parking lot, sign anybody in the car, everybody in the car that's a registered voter can sign, and there will be several lanes of cars going simultaneously.
Excellent. I know those drive-thrus, people, they literally will do U-turns and come back to make sure that they sign. I actually staffed one about a month or so ago, and it was crazy the amount of people wanting to come in. All walks of life, too, and I know we talked about that a little bit last week. This isn't just a Republican thing.
Not at all. We figured, you know, it would be a high Republican interest, and of course it is, but again, and this number hasn't changed much mm-hmm. from the last time we talked, uh-huh. but it's about 33% non-Republican that are signing. And boy, these folks, you know, Republicans is sort of a given that they're going to sign it, but the non-Republicans, they are very energetic and almost animated when they sign. They are very adamant that she has to go,
yeah.
and she has to go now. And a lot of them are taking a risk doing this because, mm-hmm. you know, they're many times employed in situations where it could compromise their situation. And so they're really sort of sticking their neck out to do this. That's how strongly people feel about the situation. They have no qualms about it. They never say, why should I sign? I mean, people just walk up and they want to sign without ever really wanting details. I mean, the details are on the back that they can look at and see all the reasons that we've listed, which are all documented and fact. You know, all the things she's done, the topmost of which, or the top one is, you know, overturning the will of the voter on yep. a number of things like taxes and the driver's licenses for illegal aliens.
Yeah.
But wow, I mean, people they just walk up and they sign. And the thing is, Denise and Dave, is that we have just a whole bunch of people that still want to sign, and there's just tens of thousands out there that still want to sign, and we're not going to be able to accommodate them just because they can't either get to the drive-through or they can't mail it in on time. I mean, the interest is not dying down. If anything, mm-hmm. it's actually growing.
And I want to bring that up because our guest in the next portion of the show is from, you know, the vaping industry. And so you've got this ban that's coming out. That's mobilized a whole new faction of people that may not have been aware of this, who were looking again at gross government overreach from this governor.
Absolutely. Just a few days ago, our casual polling was showing that only about 20% of registered voters in Oregon even knew about the recall.
Wow!
So it's pretty incredible if you think about how many people don't know about it, and yet how much interest there is. But yes, every time we turn around, such as with the vaping issue, decisions are being made that are really kind of knee-jerk, mm-hmm. Control-oriented, mm-hmm. and not based necessarily on fact or study, and putting people out of business. I mean, if you think about it, HB 2020. With that really spawned the timber unity cohesion was based on the same sort of we're going to pass a law, it's going to kill tens of thousands of jobs, but oh well, you know, they can go get a green job if they want to work.
Hashtag learn to code.
just sort of an abstract. Mm-hmm. they'll deal with it. And the same thing here. I mean, many people are looking at it for an alternative, and whether regardless of how you feel about vaping. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is, you're taking options away from people without really having a basis to do it.
Yes, exactly.
And everybody suspects it's really all about taxes, right? You've got an unregulated industry, basically.
Right.
And so there's got to be motivations for it. But just to suddenly say, we're going to put a bunch of people out of business and we're going to take away options from people that are trying to find alternatives to cigarettes is just really, Another example of how Kate Brown is not representing her constituents.
Truly, truly. Well, for folks listening, like I said, you're still taking signatures, but you really do have that hard deadline on the 14th. So, just as a parting note for people, if they want to, they've got some. What do they need to do? Next steps, and you know, how urgent is it?
Well, if they can mail them in today, wouldn't be too late.
Okay.
To the 752 Hawthorne address that's actually on the petition.
Okay.
So people can just use the address on the petition. But if they can't mail it in today, they probably need to drop it off at a local location. And what I would ask people to do is if they still want to sign, go to katebrownrecall.org. Again, that's katebrownrecall.org. That's O-R-G. And there'll be a link there for all the locations statewide where a person can go locally and sign in the next couple of days. And that way they don't have to worry about mailing it. They can just take their signature right there.
Okay, perfect. As always, Bill, thank you so much. Great information. Once again, this is Bill Currier. He's chairman of the Oregon Republican Party, giving us an update on the recall Kate Brown effort. Bill, thanks so much for taking the time out today to give our listeners an update.
Thanks, Denise and Dave. Always great.
Okay. All right, so there you go. So we're getting down to the wire, and it sounds like pins and needles, they don't really know. So if you've got signature sheets out there, you need to get them in. Check out Recall Kate Brown or katebrownrecall.org to get those addresses. And I don't think I'd be mailing it. I think I'd be bringing it in. So I think we're going to take a quick break now. And you are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. We'll be right back. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem.
Well, that's good. Lots of interest in the break. Fielding some quick calls about people who want to know where to drop off petitions. So that's good. But you run things down to the wire, my man. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
panic. You should see your panic.
Not really. I'm just like, hello.
Yeah. 752 Hawthorne.
North
is where you want to drop off locally here in
locally
Salem.
Here, yeah. And if you you can probably also look up that and get a phone number there as well. So, and or we can try to find something.
KateBrownRecall.org.
That is it.
Get those petitions in.
So before we took the break, like, as you know, we were talking to Chairman Currier, and we kind of segued over to a new faction of people that are looking, you know, maybe potentially interested in, I don't know, not having this woman be governor anymore. And we have on the line right now Jason Weber, who is a vape shop owner. And I'm going to let Jason introduce himself. He and I have been talking offline. He owns two stores in the Roseburg area. So, Jason Weber, welcome to Newsmakers and Wednesdays with Denise and Dave.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. So, Jason, you own two smoke shops down in Roseburg?
Yeah, two vape stores.
Vape stores?
By the name of Smokeless Solutions. And then we also manufacture some of the highest award-winning e-liquid in the United States underneath the name Vape Crusaders.
Okay. Yeah, I misspoke. It's not a smoke shop. You're right. It's smokeless. Smokeless. That's the whole point of vaping. And that brings us to this, you know, just hitting this week. I have a press release from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission talking about what they're going to be doing. First of all, tell us a little bit about, you've been in the vaping industry for a while. What got you started, and what makes you really one of the better people for us to talk to about this issue?
Oh, so I smoked for 14 years from the age of 14. And like a lot of people, I tried to quit throughout the years, and I tried everything and nothing worked until I tried vaping. And, you know, that was it for me. I fell in love with it as a tool. I succeeded to actually quit smoking and felt a million times better. And, you know, from there, I mean, I was a grocery store manager at the time. I helped every single smoker in the grocery store quit smoking. And eventually it's like, you know, I could keep doing this for a living and help people. So that's kind of what segued me into it. And I guess as far as what makes me an expert on it is, you know, I live and breathe this. This is important to me. This is my life. You know, we've saved tens of thousands of people from smoking in the last 5-6 years that I've been doing this as a business. And, I study everything on it. And, of course, I know about it, firsthand.
So, you know, this being a businessman in this as well, and also having a personal connection to this and really sort of, I don't know, being an evangelist really for it, because it does help people quit smoking, which is far more dangerous than vaping.
Yes.
I mean, that does...
Kill 480,000 people a year, so...
And what are the numbers? We're basing this executive action on, I'm trying to, you know the numbers maybe off the top of your head.
I think the last was 19 deaths and about 1,000 lung illnesses. But, you know, again, like, the problem is this has nothing to do with my industry. It's not nicotine vaping products. We're talking about illicit black market THC products.
So let's talk a little bit more about that. Your products are, what are yours? And then as a comparison, what are likely the culprits of these death and lung illnesses?
Yeah, so I mean, ours are, it started as being called an e-cigarette. I don't really like that name because, I mean, again, we're vaping now. It's not smoking.
Yeah.
The liquid is made up of four ingredients. And, I mean, I guess the easiest way to explain it is the only thing that links the two is they use a battery. So they are vaping it, but, I mean, it's like eating poison and then blaming the spoon for it. You know, the vaporizer didn't do this. It was the illicit THC carts, which in our industry, we don't sell and can't legally sell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one's for getting people off of cigarettes. The other is for medicinal use or recreational in some areas, of course.
Okay, so it sounds like you're talking about these are not being sold at reputable, licensed, again, Oregon Liquor Control. You guys are licensed.
Yeah, no, we are, and actually, I can't even say that.
Okay.
Sadly, I mean, at least five cases, at least in Oregon, they actually did come out of dispensaries. I can't tell you which dispensaries.
Okay.
So, but I mean, I know it started as a black market thing and somehow made it into some of those stores. I know at least the two people that died in Oregon, they did, the reports were that they purchased them from dispensaries.
Okay. And just, you know, to go on the record here, any death from this is completely unacceptable, I think. But the concern here is this seems to be a knee-jerk reaction without getting all the facts. I mean, I think there have been news stories coming out of people trying to potentially try to find the culprit, what the thing is, and they may be right, they may be wrong. But to kind of come out and wholesale ban something, what does this ban mean to you guys as business owners?
I mean, it's detrimental. This is something that will absolutely put us out of business. I mean, the FDA did a study showing with all of us adult vapers who actually quit smoking that 85.7% of us quit with a fruit, dessert, or candy flavor. Only, 4.7% of us actually quit using a tobacco flavor. It's not as successful because, well, it doesn't taste good. It tastes like a cigarette.
Right.
Either, you know, they become dual users. The idea of having a bad palate from smoking and then being able to taste something that you enjoy and still get your nicotine in a safer manner is what allows this to work so well.
You know, can you talk a little bit about nicotine addiction? I mean, it's one of the worst addictions, one of the hardest for people to quit. Cold turkey works for some. You know, there are medications, there are prescription drugs, there's all kinds of things. But vaping, I know when it came out, it seemed like a good bridge. So what is this going to do to people that have relied on that as their avenue to deliver nicotine to their system?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, when you take nicotine outside of a cigarette, you're taking it away from, you know, over 7,000 ingredients, 50 of them are carcinogenic. So, I mean, nicotine in smaller amounts, you know, outside of a cigarette is not as dangerous as people might think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in high doses, of course, you don't want to touch
sure,
it or drink
sure.
it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's actually studies showing that it does things like positive things, like pushes off Alzheimer's and stuff like that. So,
wow.
Really, I mean, it's a fear of nicotine. Mm-hmm. And I might as well mention this since we're
sure.
talking about
yeah.
it here. I think March of next year, there's going to be a movie coming out called You Don't Know Nicotine, produced by Aaron Biber. And I think that's going to be a real eye opener for people on what nicotine really is outside of cigarettes.
Wow.
That's interesting because, yeah, when you think about a cigarette, the combustible, you mean you're igniting at the combustible, it's all the other ingredients that are in the cigarette.
Yes, and you nailed it. The combustible aspect is actually the worst. A lot of people don't realize if you were to vaporize your cigarette, even with all those bad ingredients, you would still be about 90% safer than you were from smoking. Lack of sleep, for the record.
no problem.
If you vaporize a cigarette, you're 90% safer than smoking because the lighting of the fire is what is actually the main part that's killing people. So, of course, when you're using a vaporizer and e-liquid, there is no combustion aspect. There's no tar aspect. You're vaporizing something, and that's where, you know, like the Royal College of Physicians, Public England Health, a lot of very reputable doctors show that it's at least 95% safer than smoke.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, that seems it makes logical sense. I think even somebody who may not be familiar with vaping, but everybody's familiar with cigarettes. I mean, it just the fact that this isn't going to solve the problem it purports to want to solve and basically drive out of business an entire sector of legitimate business. I mean, at this point, what are you guys doing to mitigate the damage? I mean, can you talk a little bit about contingency plans, what this looks like for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few ways of looking at it. I mean, I'm also on the board of the Oregon Vapor Trade Association,
mm-hmm.
which is our trade group in Oregon that fights for vaping. I mean, I've been fighting for this for probably three and a half years since I knew there was a fight. I mean, we've been under attack for a long time, just never at this level.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we talked to our politicians. I just got back from D.C. 2 weeks ago. I mean, I flew out there, you know, to try to educate Oregon senators like Merkley and Wyden.
How'd that go?
But yeah, well, I mean, most of the time you get their underlings, and I guess I shouldn't be too rude about it, but, you know, I mean, they've kind of got their minds made up with
yeah.
things, and really it's about another agenda. Let's be real. Everybody hates e-cigarettes and vaping, and it's not because they're worried about what they say they're worried about, really. It comes down to revenue.
Right.
Now, have you guys heard of the Master Settlement Agreement?
No. Do tell.
So the Master Settlement Agreement was an agreement made in November of 98 between the biggest tobacco companies in 46 of the 50 states. And basically, when people were coming out trying to sue people because they were getting cancer and dying from cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
This agreement basically made it to where you couldn't sue the cigarette companies. The cigarettes could keep flowing through the states as long as the states got their share, basically. And so Even crazier, what happened was they took the money up front. I think it was something like $160 billion right off the bat, if I remember right. And then all of a sudden, cigarette sales didn't, you know, do what they were supposed to do. So all of a sudden, now the states owe the tobacco companies. And so a lot of them had to start digging into their reserves and stuff. And so this is missing money that they're trying to come up with. And, of course, vaping is the main reason, especially over the last decade and a few years even worse, on why cigarettes have, you know, plummeted like a jet being shot out of the sky. So, I mean, there's missing funds, and basically we're the answer to them. So,
that's interesting, because you sent me some information prior to you coming on the air, and it was fascinating. As of January 21, tobacco companies have lost a total of $100 billion thanks to the vaping industry. I wonder if that has something to do with this.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. And, you know, and just because they lost all, they've got pockets and big lobbyists and, you know, it's pharma too. I mean, it's a big connection. Like, if you really dig deep into this and look, I mean, just like, I mean, what, we just now got partial truth from the CDC about what's really going on with these lung issues.
Mm-hmm.
They were silent for 3 weeks. That's like the biggest gross misconduct of public health I've ever seen.
Oh.
I mean, I got to hear a doctor speak, Dr. Michael Siegel, and he, you know, he's trained by the CDC and he worked with them, and he showed us exactly what their procedure is for this,
mm-hmm.
kind of comparing it to like E. coli cases with broccoli and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they get a 60% answer and they go for it. They had a 90% answer on what was doing this, and they refused to tell the truth. And not only that, they started blaming e-cigarettes, which had nothing to do with it. And then, of course, if you look into like the head of the CDC, they have stocks in tobacco. Our Surgeon General has stocks in tobacco. You know, the connections behind the scenes that people don't see unless we're going to take the time to look, it's mind-blowing. It really is.
Jason, we've got a lot more to cover. Can you stick around for the rest of the show so we can cover some more of this information? Because it goes deeper.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Now, back to Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires, and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions, in the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back to Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. We are talking to Jason Weber, who's the owner of Smokeless Solutions, two stores down in Roseburg, and also Vape Crusaders, which is one of the highest award-winning e-liquid companies in the U.S. Jason, thanks for sticking around with us. Dave actually came up with a really great question for you on the break, so I'm going to let Dave take it away.
I'm wondering, Jason, would it be a really positive thing, or would it be helpful if the OLCC, who regulates your business, if they did a sweep throughout the state to find any bad apples?
I think regulation, you know, in the right form is always a positive. I mean, you know, however, let's be realistic. I mean, there's two different issues here right now, and the main problem is there are people dying, there are people getting sick off of a substance that we know what it is, yet nothing's been done. I mean, nobody is going to check on the dispensaries to make sure that they've got the legitimate, THC carts in, not the ones that are cut with the bad things like vitamin E acetate and some of the other things that we've heard could and possibly are causing these lung issues. But, I mean, there's always, you know, bad apples in every industry, and I'm not saying ours is perfect, but the issue that we're dealing with right now, this has absolutely got nothing to do with us.
So you say you know what it is. So the CDC, this is what the CDC ruling that came out that they sat on for 3 weeks, identified it?
Yeah, you know, I thought when they came out with it, because of course they had to eventually, that they would, you know, hang somebody and be like, oh, it was their fault, you know. But no, like, they just straight up said it, and no apologies for, you know, blaming us for 3 weeks. And sadly, the media is still running with it half the time, you know, vaping-related deaths, using terminology like that instead of saying, you know, THC cart or, you know, or black market THC cart-related deaths. And it's been damaging to us for weeks now as far as the business. It's scared our customers.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the crazier part about it is now that the truth has came out, you still have governors like ours, Kate Brown, and, of course, I'm in Washington right now helping with their dealing with the same situation with Inslee. Now they're saying back to the reason, oh, we're doing this because of the kids. Let's be real. I started smoking when I was 14 years old, and I couldn't do it because the cigarette tasted good. You know, I was trying to be cool or something.
Right.
And, of course, the more you demonize something, that's what happens.
And then, you know, with cigarettes, I mean, all it takes is one. There is no such a thing as one cigarette, especially if you're an ex-smoker. There's no such thing as one cigarette once you start.
Been there, done that.
Yeah, exactly.
I smoked for 20 years.
Yeah, so you know too. I mean, and nicotine is, you know, one of the most addictive substances. And again, you brought back, it's for the kids. These things, these knee-jerk, these sort of draconian bans. And I, for the record, I am never for banning anything. Good grief. Education.
Prohibition doesn't work.
It doesn't. And now let's talk a little bit what this ban is going to do. Predictably, pathetically predictably, it will create a black market.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's going to send people back to smoking as their easier option. Mm-hmm. And God, I can't tell you how many customers, I got like 20 a day reaching out to me, just, what are we going to do? You know, I don't want to go back to smoking. This has saved my life. I mean, just people crying over vape shops shutting down and owners who are crying about their businesses. Here's what I can tell you it's not going to do. Mm-hmm. It's not going to fix their supposedly epidemic of teen vaping. Mm-hmm. And if you don't mind, I'd like to point something out.
Sure,
they're saying that 78% of teens in the U.S. right now are vaping. The CDC is saying this. So now, if you take away 600,000 of those numbers, that was people that were 18 or older and could legally purchase these products.
Mm-hmm.
Then you dig in even further and look at the question that they answered was, have you ever tried vaping in a 30-day period? If you take away the ones who just tried it and mm-hmm. weren't actually users, you're looking at 5.7%. Does that sound like an epidemic to you?
No.
But don't get me wrong. None of us want to see kids, teens, anyone doing any substances.
Right.
Of course, they don't show the marijuana and alcohol numbers are even higher than even the epidemic that they're lying about. But realistically, there are regulations you can do. I mean, we're already 21 and older. Mm-hmm. You cannot walk in my business without getting carded. And if there's ever a sting, my employees know if they pass it, they get $100 cash. If they fail it, they're fired. And that's how serious we take it. And I'm not the only one. If we need to add extra stuff and really, you know, go over the top like they're trying to, fine, let's figure out third-party verification. Let's ban it from convenience stores and internet, since that's actually where the numbers have shown that most of the kids can get it from who are getting it. It's not coming from our stores. This is just a giant overreach.
It is. And so, you know, you bring up, you've incentivized your employees to do the right thing, to check IDs, to make sure. It's already illegal for these things to be sold. So to me, again, banning these things across the board, especially for consenting adults who know the risks, I mean, it doesn't seem like that's going to solve the problem. Are you even at the table in this discussion?
No, most of the time we aren't, sadly. We, like our Oregon Vapor Trade Association is built off of a national association called the VTA, the Vapor Technology Association, mm-hmm. Made up of like, you know, some really smart people, lawyers, ex-DC people. But a lot of times we're pretty much, I'm missing the word. Basically, we're fighting it after the fact.
Yeah.
A lot of times we can't get to it ahead of time because we're not invited to these work groups. In fact, we're hearing in the media that they're having a work group today. Nobody knows where it is. Nobody knows what time. And of course, you know, they're not inviting in the industry experts because we've told them this for years. I mean, I've spent more time at the Capitol some years in my own business, and I'm letting them know,
mm-hmm.
look, all want regulation. None of us want kids on this product, but we need to figure out something reasonable. And they obviously hear us, but they're not hearing us because nothing ever happens. They just, like you said, knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I'm looking at the press release here. It's Oregon Health Authority and the OLCC have been tasked with this. And again, you know, you're looking at these are laws. This is an executive order, actually, that is going to have long, far-reaching detrimental ramifications on the business owners. Again, very up in the air, very iffy that it will do anything to address the problem it purports to address. And yet you guys, again, don't have a place at the table. I can't imagine. I mean, and media is really not on your side as well. I mean, what are you guys doing as an industry to sort of break through the media blackout wall?
I mean, for most of us who feel like we're well spoken and you know, presentable, like I've been one of those people. I just try to do as much media as I can. I reach out to my news sources that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I've done newspaper articles. You've been awesome and allowed me to come on this show and be able to speak. So I mean, we're trying to counteract the information. Obviously, that's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've been calling Kay Brown. We've heard that Bev Clairno is
the
last signature that needs to go on. We've been blowing her phone up. But from what we're hearing, it's kind of something that they're looking at pushing through and signing. So, I mean, really after that, and it's going to come down to our lawsuits, lawyers, crisis team.
Okay, so then we get into legalities of it. Yeah, because, I mean, my sense on this is it's pretty much a done deal. There doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in hearing from you, hearing facts, because, again, like you said, there are reports coming out. There's testing being done. It seems to be falling on deaf ears that have already kind of come to a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, no, they don't want to know the truth, and most of them do know the truth. It's there. There's not one bit of this that's left unknown. I mean, the kids' argument, the THC, yeah. Black market THC yeah. argument, all of it is it's nonsense. So, I mean, when you actually look at the truth, it's scary. Like, you know, I've spent years of my life to help people. Like, we are public health. Mm-hmm. We are smokers' best chance. I mean, it's like the American Cancer Association, uh-huh. I believe, is the one that showed that we are twice as successful at getting people off cigarettes as the patches and gum.
Right.
You're the answer.
Right. Well,
and
you
if
know,
we would just work together.
Yeah. Well, you talk about, I mean, cigarette smoking, it's also the oral part of it. I mean, you're the action of doing it, it's occupying your hands. There's more to it than just ingesting the nicotine. It's this sort of, I don't want to say ritual, but there's a whole lot that goes with it. And so vaping kind of satisfies all those needs for smokers.
Yeah, you're dead on with that. That's exactly what it does. I mean, you know, with our shops too, our vape shops that are 21 and older, like, we educate too. Like, this isn't just, you know, you go in a convenience store and you're just buying a product. You come in and, like, we want to know how much you smoked. We want to hear your story. We want to give you tips. Like, when people come in my shop, first thing is we need to find a setup they're happy with. The second is we want to find a flavor that they fall in love with, because if they do not enjoy the flavor, they're not going to quit smoking. And I tell them that point blank. And so we take the time to figure that out. Once they have those two together, I mean, in our store, we have a death bucket. It's a 55-gallon drum where they throw the rest of their cigarettes away, and if they do that, I give them $5 off the setup they're purchasing.
Wow.
And then I let them know there's this thing we came up with called the 3-minute rule. And traditional nicotine takes about 3 minutes when vaping to enter your bloodstream. So I let them know you're going to leave here and you're going to crave a cigarette at some point today. It's human nature. We're at it. But when you do, you don't have your cigarettes now. So before you drive to the store, bum one off a friend, just use your vaporizer, time 3 minutes, and I promise you, if you give it those 3 minutes, you're going to realize you've got all the nicotine you needed, minus the, 7,000 ingredients that are killing you, mm-hmm. and you're going to go on with your day being okay. And it's part of it's a mental game and coaching. A lot of people don't realize that.
And you're going to smell like green apples versus tobacco.
Yes, absolutely. I tell you what, like, I mean, you know, I never knew how bad I smelled, and then once I actually switch to vaping, I mean, I can smell a smoker from 10 feet away now.
I
walk through a casino, you know, and my clothes just stink. It's terrible.
Yeah, when I was smoking, it was like I smoked away from everybody to try and avoid all that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had that smell on me.
Yeah, and you can't escape that.
And now it's like 200 feet away, I can smell a smoker.
Yeah,
is that?
Ex-smokers sometimes can be kind of obnoxious, but...
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've noticed, like, some, you know, we can be the same way. In my earlier years of doing this, I guess I won't say what people call me, but I was really, like, on them, like, oh, you shouldn't smoke. But then you got to realize, like, it's got to be, you know, a person's got to want to quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting on them about it is not the way to do it. Just showing them that there is a better way. So, I mean, it's been wildly successful for us. I can't tell you how many people we've helped. I can't tell you how much it's helped me. I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
Just,
you know, nobody wants to look. They want to just, we're tobacco. We're the same thing as smoking. And, you know, it's more of a public nuisance, I guess, to people. They see us and they're like, oh, that's, and of course, we need to be respectful. Like, there should never be blowing clouds at people, mm-hmm. even though it isn't going to stink like cigarettes. There's a respectful way of doing it. And I have no problem walking away to, you know, another side of the smoking section, or, you know, it's just the public needs to be educated, and sadly there's not enough of that.
I agree.
Hey, Jason, real quick, this is also a step to actually quitting. I mean, you could wean people off of nicotine on this too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I have lots of customers that have gone completely. So what we do is, I mean, what you can't do with a Juul even, or cigarettes, you can't walk yourself down. So when people come into our business, you know, if they're a heavy smoker, 2-3 packs a day, sometimes we start them off at 24 milligrams of nicotine. And then from there, we can slowly walk them down to where it's not really affecting them. And then they're at zero. And then all of a sudden, one day, they're like, wow, I've been on 0 milligrams for a while now. It's more of just the mouth to hand-to-mouth habit, and now I can put this down. I've even had customers ask if I would slowly drop it for them without telling them.
Uh-huh.
And we've done it. We'll keep a list in the back, and one day they'll come in and we'll be like, congratulations, you're off the nicotine.
Wow.
What
you're describing really is a partnership with your customers. And I find that very refreshing. And I think it's sort of as best practices. You guys are in the industry. You know your customers. You know the industry far better than anybody else looking at it from the outside looking in, who's then trying to regulate it. Jason, we've got one more segment. I want to keep you around for the last one to kind of wrap up and some final thoughts. So if you could stick around, that would be great. Everybody, you have been listening to, or you are listening to, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise and Dave. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by our friends at Green Acres Landscape.
And welcome back, everybody. We have been talking to Jason Weber, who is a vape shop owner, an advocate, and an expert, frankly. And, you know, Jason, just what you've been describing last segment about the partnership that you have with your customers, the relationship that you have there, it would be an utter shame to see that go away for people.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we love our customers. This is so different than anything before. It's just grassroots. Like, we really take the time with our customers, and we're really here to help them. Like, I mean, if I'm being honest, I've been doing this for over 5.5 years, and I haven't really made any money. Why? Because I want to keep growing my business, and I want to keep helping people. And, of course, now I'm all in, and I'm looking at losing it all because of this.
Yeah.
And it's just a shame.
You know, and I would imagine you're not alone in sort of your mindset of how you run your business, the care that you take for your customers, and how you want to help them.
No, not at all. There's a lot of us. I believe we were looking at like 960-some, employees and shop owners that are going to lose their jobs if this goes through, the last numbers that I looked at for that. So
yeah, and if you're looking at real world, you've got people who are addicted to cigarettes or addicted to combustible nicotine products, and the goal really should be, and we keep hearing that, the goal is to reduce smoking, to get people off of that. Here we have a solution that works for tens of thousands of people, the partnership, the care that you guys show, and, you know, with the stroke of a pen, it could all be gone. For what?
Yeah. Yeah, and nobody looks at the fact that smoking is at an all-time low right now, especially with teens.
Yes.
Like, nobody ever looks at that. Like, nobody's talking about cigarettes anymore. You know, we're the bad guys, so.
Yeah, and again, there's already, you know, there's a meme floating around, something about, you know, let's legalize heroin or decriminalize heroin but ban vaping.
Oh, God.
It's like, when you look at it, you know, from a practical, reasonable person perspective, it makes no sense.
Right. How did these people get elected? I don't know.
I know. And, you know, again, and the caveat that we said at the beginning of the show, we don't want to see anybody dying from any of this. But I think it behooves us all, because there's a lot of factors in here, to find out what the facts are.
Yeah. You know, the public, the media, they need to start, or public, the politicians, the media, they need to start telling the truth. And we need to actually handle this with facts and science and just common sense. Like, it's not a hard thing. It's being made to look that way.
Yeah.
You do know, so stop saying we don't know, you know?
Yeah. So people listening to this, you know, Dave and I were talking off air, you know, smokers, you know, have become sort of pariahs. It's an issue that a lot of people can look at it and go, well, good, you know, because they don't necessarily, I don't smoke and I don't know anybody who does. But if somebody who's listening to this will understand sort of the broader scope of what this means, what can they do to help you?
Well, I mean, to help all of us, you know, if you are a smoker and you want to quit, go to your local vape shop. If you're a vapor, keep supporting your local vape shop, because another thing people aren't pointing out is this won't ban internet sales. So all this does is hurt our local community, and it's going to end up just sending business online, if not people back to smoking, or again, creating a black market,
yeah,
which is why we're in trouble in the first place, just with another industry, so.
Yeah, well, you talk about online sales, and then you really look at, you know, an executive order that comes through this way. How is that going to be policed?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. We're kind of all just waiting to see what's going to happen. I mean, because if I'm being real, you know, I'm not going down without a fight. You're going to have to drag me out, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think that's the attitude when the sort of this gross government overreach comes at you. You kind of steal your spine, and you get ready for a fight.
Absolutely. I have been, and I am, so, and a lot of us are.
So, Jason, I want to give you a couple minutes, you know, just for some final thoughts. We've talked for quite a bit about this. You've got people listening that are, you know, this is an audience that I don't think is probably in line with you as far as freedom and liberty, and you're a business owner. What's some final thoughts that you want to share with them?
You know, just don't believe the hype about vaping. Like, if you really do your research, and that you'll see that this is an answer for you. You know, other than that, if you are a vapor and you want to help, I mean, I heard that they're doing a rally at the Capitol Friday.
Mm-hmm.
It's not us, but it's the people that are, you know, against Kate Brown, and they said they're doing it for vaping, so that could be a good thing. And of course, calling blowing Kate Brown's office up. And speaking to your politicians, using the phone. I didn't say that very well. Not pulling her up. Oh, Lord, I'm going to get locked up. Yeah, blowing the phones up and letting them know what this has done for you and how this is an overreach and this isn't the answer. So
yeah, clearly we understood you were talking about communicating via telephone with the governor's office.
My wife just had to correct me real quick. So.
But, you know, you got to be clear these days. Well, Jason, I can't thank you enough for coming on and for providing your very unique insight into this. Again, we have been talking to Jason Weber. He's owner of two smokeless solution shops in Roseburg and also of Vape Crusaders. Jason Weber, again, thanks so much for coming in and sharing your insights with us. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, and anytime.
Okay.
Hey, I got a quick question before you run, Jason.
Yeah.
So a six-month ban, it's going to force people to the internet. Black market. Do you see any vaping shops surviving?
Yeah, honestly, it's going to really depend on the rules. I mean, just to give you a quick example, I know Michigan somehow like backtracked and allowed 0 milligram flavored e-liquid, which again,
zero
I don't
milligrams.
The concepts here,
okay.
But there might be ways around it. Possible loopholes. I mean, we're praying, so like we want to keep helping the public and doing what we're doing. So, but I mean, it looks pretty gloom, and if you look at other places that have done it, I mean, shops are shutting down left and right. Not many of us can tolerate something like that. Some of us don't have great numbers as it is, so you'd have to be in a really good position to even play that game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're small business owners. You're right, you know, what we keep hearing in the governor herself is small business owners are the backbone of Oregon, and so this is what's so maddening about this intentional crippling of small business owners based on not a lot of real strong science that I'm seeing.
Yeah, we are not Juul. We are not Big Tobacco.
Right,
that is a
right.
big misconception. Yeah. We are people just like you. I started with $1,000. Like, I didn't have money for this. I just had a passion to help people, and it's worked. So, it's tough times for us.
I think the OLCC just needs to do a random sweep across the state and try and find all the bad eggs out there and help save you guys.
Absolutely. I've even invited Merkley and Wyden to come to my shop. Come look and see what's really going on. Speak to my customers.
Yes.
They aren't kids. They're adults. We're talking 60, 70, 80-year-olds, you know, and of course, 40, 30. But, I mean, like, come find the truth. But they don't want to. That's the problem. I told them I would pay for their ticket, and I found out that's illegal, but I would be willing to.
Well,
because that's how serious I am.
They're here in the state. We talked about that with Timber Unity, too. It's sort of bring your legislator to work day. I think these people need to get out of their offices and get down on the ground, walk a mile in your shoes to really understand what the ramifications of these executive orders and all this legislation has on real people in real life.
Yeah.
If they had any kind of conscience, it would absolutely change their mind.
Yeah.
Best to you, Jason, and we'll be following you for sure.
Thanks,
closely.
Jason. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Okay.
You too.
Yeah. Yep. Real world again, you know, and having people tell their own stories and really understand. And I really, really wish we could get legislators to go in and to talk to these people and to go in and walk a mile in their shoes.
Yeah. You know, I like your concept to bring your legislator,
take your legislator to work day. Let's start it up.
Yeah. And find out what's going on in the real world instead of sending their minions.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Right. Well, another exciting Wednesday with Denise.
Jam packed.
Always here on Newsmakers. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, Wednesdays with Denise Quinn and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.